oh, you can't get people to save, people don't make financial decisions. You can if you inform them about their choices and you make it clear and easy for them to do it. But there is so much friction in the system, the way that it's set up today, that it really causes a lot of confusion.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Goldman, and this is Future Proof.
The current employer-sponsored retirement savings plans are in desperate need of innovation. 401ks aren't cutting it, pension plans are nearly extinct, and a large portion of our workforce isn't even eligible for such benefits. And even those who do have a savings plan will have to pay high penalty fees to withdraw them when they inevitably change jobs. In fact, that is a huge contributing factor to the $1 trillion of unclaimed dollars that are trapped in old 401k accounts. Honestly, also, many Americans are locked out of 401k eligibility, including gig workers, part-time workers, and typically excluded industries like retail and restaurants. You add all of this up, and it's a little bit of a cluster, let's just say. That's why I wanted to speak to Laurie Rowley, a financial services industry vet who's the founder and CEO of Icon Savings Plan, which calls itself the first portable savings provider. I talked to Laurie about why retirement savings are so critical to society and why the industry is ripe for disruption. This is a topic that I admittedly did not know much about before this conversation, and chances are you might be the same. So let's jump right in.
Laurie, welcome to Future Proof.
Hey, thanks. It's nice to be here.
Yeah, no, it's. I'm excited for this because I think it's a bit of a different conversation for us. But first, I wanted to ask you, who are you and what do you do on a day-to-day basis? How do you define yourself?
Okay, I'm going to start by throwing a curveball at me. Who am I? Existential question. Now, so in my professional life, I started my first company when I was 19. I started that when I was in college, actually, and ended up selling it to a company in Boston. And that sort of set me off on my journey of being in financial services and really, you know, solving a bunch of problems, or trying to anyway, in the retirement savings space. So kind of grew up in that kind of world in Boston, sort of the epicenter of all things retirement savings. And then did a stint in behavioral finance and also some nonprofit work as well.
Excuse me. I know that there's a lot there in terms of what you're interested in and kind of what got you to where you are today. But yeah. I wanted to, I think, first even ask you a big question, which I know is kind of near and dear to your heart. I mean, why are the current employer-sponsored retirement savings plans that exist right now in desperate need of innovation?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So having spent the last, you know, decade and a half really immersed in that industry, you know, one of the things that, you know, the retirement industry spends a lot of time is how to fix a lot of the problems with the 401k plan, which that, of course, is the dominant retirement savings plan. The word 401k plan means retirement plan for everybody. And there's some structural sort of bugs in that framework that are really hurting employers and then, of course, individual savers. Because that model was really based on a pension system, the 401k plan, it hasn't adapted well to sort of the needs of the modern workforce and the needs of employers. And, you know, everything that's happened in the last 18 months with COVID has really highlighted those problems that the 401k structure has. And I can dive into those if you're ready to just jump into that space.
Yeah. No, because I think that this is something that some people think a lot about. And then it's interesting, right? Because this is one of those things that when you're thinking about overall impact to society and trying to have the greatest possible impact, it seems that essentially innovating around the idea of a 401k, which many people have, you're just going to have a lot of impact if you can solve for this problem. So maybe you can kind of go into that problem a little bit more.
Yeah. So it may surprise you to learn, actually, a lot of people don't know this, that over half of the workforce doesn't have access to a 401k plan. So that's about 81 million people right now. And there's a couple of reasons for that. One, the surging of the independent workforce. So 401k plans only work for qualified W-2 employees. So for the entire independent workforce, which is projected to be 50% of the workforce in about 5 years, the 401k plan does not work. So that's one problem. Another big problem is that 401k plans were created about 50 years ago when people used to, you know, work for a company. They would stay there their whole life, more or less, and then they would retire and they would have this little nest egg. Well, nowadays, people are changing jobs much more frequently. Every two and a half, three years, people are changing jobs. So what you have is you go into a company, if they have a 401k plan, you have to probably wait a year before you can participate. Then you are participating in the plan. And then you leave. So you have to do a rollout, or people cash it out, or they leave it behind. So that's one of the big structural flaws, is that people are constantly moving in and out of jobs and in and out of coverage. And that's where a lot of the problems are. There is over $100 billion cashed out of 401k plans every single year because a job change, there's so much friction because these plans are not portable. And the reason they're not portable is that if you think about what a 401k plan is, it's literally like a mini financial product that an employer sets up for their employees to participate in. And so it's the employer's plan and not yours. So you're constantly, people are having to constantly go in and out of coverage and change their plans. It's not unusual for people to have 8, 10, 12 old 401k plans at old businesses that they become disconnected from, or they cash it out, or, you know, so that's one of the big structural flaws of the 401k plan.
And I think I'm probably one of the people who, you know, can definitely say they're part of that group. And also, by the way, the gig worker problem, it seems to me that when you're talking about savings, that's especially from a 401k standpoint, that's just going to be a bigger and bigger issue as time goes on.
It's a huge issue. I mean, we can quantify it. We know that there's a $4.2 trillion retirement savings gap. So that means the amount of money that we know folks are going to need when they hit retirement and they don't have that money. So we're set up as a society to save for our futures, for our retirement, for our financial well-being through work-based retirement plans. And the sort of one-size-fits-all plan that we have of the 401k plan is not working. For, you know, most small businesses, it works for Fortune 500 companies, largely for their qualified employees, but not for their 1099 workers. So we really need a parallel shift as we're going through these big cultural shifts in how we work. There needs to be a parallel shift in how we think about delivering retirement savings, because retirement savings is generally the first time people will invest in the stock market. So for people to be able to save and invest, it generally happens through their work-based retirement plan, which is why there's such an imperative to be able to develop a new system that can sort of be the next generation beyond the 401k plan, which is being called portable retirement, which is a solution really as we think about the future of work and the shifts in the independent workforce.
And I know that that's something that you want to be, or you are kind of at the forefront of and trying to really champion.
Yes. Yeah, that's what we're doing. So I started a couple of years ago, a company called Icon Savings Plan, and it's the first fully portable workplace savings plan. So it works like a 401k plan, in that your contributions go into a retirement account through payroll, just like a 401k plan. But instead of going into a 401k plan, it goes into an individual retirement account that feels like a 401k plan, but it's an individual retirement account. So it means the individual owns it. You can put your money into your savings account. It grows. It's invested for you, similar to how a 401k plan works. But then when the employee leaves, or the person leaves the company, their plan follows them. They don't have to do a rollout or cash it out. It just stays with them. And they can use it at their next employer. They can use it on their own if they're going to do gig work or a combination. So it's really centered on the needs of the individual saver, but still utilizing that sort of work-based system, which is, it's just when it's automatic and easy for people to save through their employer, they do it. They don't do it on their own. So we're really staying tethered to that idea of the employer facilitating those contributions through payroll, but we're switching the sort of, you know, underlying gear from a 401k plan to an IRA to retain that portability so that your plan follows you from job to job.
Yeah. And I mean, that is really interesting. And also, I think it certainly does solve, or it seems to solve, a particular problem that just seems to be growing over time. Because I don't know if this is something that you've, I know you're a numbers person, so maybe you have thought about this, but it just seems that there is such a substantial gap from a retirement savings standpoint in the U.S. in particular, that it kind of has me worried. If you're, you know, just projecting out what this looks like, it seems kind of not quite like a house of cards that's waiting to fall, but, you know, something kind of like that.
It is. You know, Larry Fink, the CEO of BlackRock, which is the largest asset manager in the world, you know, said a couple of years ago that the retirement savings crisis is going to make the healthcare crisis look small by comparison. And it's really to do with these sort of converging events around, you know, the switch to this sort of 1099 or independent mobile workforce. You know, employers are really less inclined to want to offer 401k plans because there's some big structural problems for employers that we haven't hit on, which I'll just briefly tell you. So when an employer offers a 401k plan, it's expensive for them to set up, and it requires the employer to be a fiduciary to their employees. And that means that if your employees feel like the 401k plan isn't being managed properly or it's too expensive, employees sue their employer for fiduciary breach. And this has become a giant industry in the last 5 or 10 years, with many, many companies being sued for substantial amounts of money for their 401k plan. So employers want to disintermediate themselves from the legal cost and risk of those 401k plans. So these are sort of the events that are going on in the workforce as it relates to financial security.
It just seems to me also, this is something that there's a bit of an issue with, in that every company wants to be essentially subject matter expert and focus on one thing. And do they really want to be in the business, just asking, you know, of picking the right long-term stable stocks? And if not, if they don't do a good job, then they risk being sued. It just seems to me like that's I think back to the auto, you know, industry, and how they had all these pensions, and they essentially became like, they were forced to be subject matter experts in something other than making cars. And that just wasn't necessarily sustainable.
It's not sustainable. And you have hit on the very problem that's going on here, is that we're forcing employers to become pension manager experts, right? And if you're not, you're going to get sued for it. So how can smaller businesses, you know, sure, maybe if you're a Fortune 100 company and you have a whole team of people that you can, you know, handle this part of your business, fine. But that's not how Americans work, right? We're mostly small businesses. And how can a small business figure out what? There's so many choices. There's so, you know, there's so much complexity in financial services. How can any small business be expected to, you know, pick the funds and the providers and all the different people that are required to make a plan like this successful? And then expose themselves to that legal risk. It's just an untenable situation for employers. And that's why you see such low levels of coverage or, you know, 401k plan usage by smaller employers.
Yeah, it does seem to be something that I think, it's just ironic to me that probably the people who know more about this topic are the people who don't necessarily need the knowledge. And by that, I just mean the folks that are just struggling on a, let's say, day-to-day basis and don't have the time to even think about retirement savings in general are probably the people who have to be thinking about it the most, or ought to be thinking about it the most. And I'm wondering, how do you educate people about the growing importance of, you know, this gap between how little, you know, on average we're planning ahead, and also just the general problem that you're trying to solve, which is just to make people more ready for the long term?
Yeah, it depends on who you mean by, you know, talking to people. So, you know, employers are really aware of the issues, you know, around the retirement sort of options available to them, which are very limited and very risky and expensive. In terms of getting individuals to save, believe it or not, people love to save through the plan offered by their employer. And there's this sort of notion that I've rejected, which is that, oh, you can't get people to save, people don't make financial decisions. You can if you inform them about their choices and you make it clear and easy for them to do it. But there is so much friction in the system, the way that it's set up today, that it really causes a lot of confusion. And confusion feels like us as risk, right? So we don't want to do anything risky or stupid. It's our it's our financial well-being, and we want to make a good decision about it. And if we don't understand it, and we don't trust the information that we have, people don't engage. But, you know, something that I know, having been in the industry for a long time, is that when you present, you know, clear information to people about, you know, how a plan like this can impact their future, their finances, their well-being, and, you know, remove the friction and the barriers that prevent people from saving, they save at all income levels at much higher rates than if they were to save on their own. If you offer someone a work-based retirement plan, they are 15 times more likely to save than they would on their own.
How about and I know that this is something that you touched upon before, and I'm wondering, you know, especially as you think about future of work trends and how what yeah. you're offering might actually be more valuable in the future than it is now, just by virtue of the fact that people are moving around more, and maybe yeah. because of the pandemic, people have become less loyal to companies simply because they don't know those people in real life. They know those people through a Zoom or a Google Meet screen. And I don't know if you're following those trends, but it does seem to me like that's the kind of thing that means that portability, if you will, is going to become more important in the future as opposed to less.
Yeah, I think it's really important. The industry actually knows, the retirement industry actually knows it's really important. And they've sort of struggled using sort of the 401k framework to do that. That's why there's a sort of search for a new kind of plan, which is portable retirement. It's hugely important. I mean, you know, and you have companies, you know, that work across different, you know, states and legislative environments and different, you know, worker kind of laws. Like, I mean, California has a new mandate that any employer with over 5 employees has to offer a retirement plan. This is a problem for companies if they have, you know, a few employees in California and is sprinkled in a few other states. How do they manage a plan in multiple sort of regulatory environments? And that's something that we're able to solve for also with portable retirement. Really solves, you know, that's a lot of the companies that we're working with, frankly, have employees in multiple states that have different sort of regulatory environments around retirement savings. And I think we have to be adaptable and flexible. And that's why we've chosen the sort of plan type that we're using, because it really allows for that maximum flexibility and adaptability, and is sort of agnostic to where the person is or their employment status. So you could be W-2 or 1099.
I think another thing that you're making me think about is I had a conversation with somebody who's, you know, definitely fairly intelligent, and essentially kind of said something along the lines of people in the future will not really be retiring, particularly in the US. They're just going to be working longer and longer. It's not going to be so sustainable or such a real opportunity to retire. So it kind of came across a bit as defeatist. Like, what's the point in trying to save for retirement, because it will be too costly? And I don't know what you say to somebody like that. I mean, are the trends, you know, actually suggesting that people will be working longer and longer and retirement is not attainable? Or does that still seem from your projections to be attainable? I know you have a vested interest in, obviously, but, you know, thinking about it a certain way. But, you know, what's your honest assessment of that?
My honest assessment is, look at what's happening right now. People take Social Security earlier than they think they'll take it because they need that money. Because, you know, for a lot of people, unless you have a job where you're sitting at a desk all day and thinking, it's really hard to work into your late 60s, you know, building houses, doing construction, you know, working in a factory or, you know, other kinds of jobs. So I think it's not, again, a one-size-fits-all solution. I think that people can and will and probably should work later in life. It's a healthier thing to do. But there's a whole group of people for whom that's just not an option based on their work, and they need, you know, to have income and retirement to live on. So I think that all of those things are true. I do think that, you know, some people probably are not going to retire because they're not going to have any money to retire. They're going to be working until the day, you know, they just can't physically do it anymore. But given the longevity aspect, it really, really demands, you know, people aren't going to be working when they're 85 years old, and you are going to have, you know, money to support yourself, especially given the, you know, situation with Social Security and that sort of question mark. So I think it's more important than ever for people to have a financial sort of nest egg to rely on.
I was just trying to calculate what episode I'm going to hit for Future Proof when I'm 85 years old. I'm trying to do some math in my head. But you're right. I think that people, at the very least, they forget about the fact that retirement buys you flexibility. It doesn't force you to do nothing. It's just giving you options at a time when you're probably going to need them.
People are going to need options. They're going to need, you know, we don't know exactly what's going to happen in terms of what's happening with Social Security, but it is, you know, it's a question mark. And so if you think about healthcare costs, housing costs, you know, it's a challenge. And, you know, one of the problems actually, I think that we have in the industry is that the calculators that everybody uses to say how much money they're going to need, you know, you're 25 years old and you pop your data into a retirement calculator. And it's like, I need $7 million. It's like, it's very hard for people to imagine those enormous sums of money. So I, you know, sort of counter to the rest of the industry, don't want to focus really on what future income will be based on what you're saving right now. I think we should just, you know, help people save, do what they can, and maximize their opportunity for success by making sure they have easy, frictionless, low-cost ways to save and invest and have that consistency of savings across their lifelong sort of career and journey. One of the big problems, if you look at different cohorts of the workforce, if you look at women, for example, they are 80 times more likely to be impoverished by age 65 than men. And a big driving force for that is that women go in and out of the workforce typically more often than men do. And so they have lack of retirement coverage throughout their career. So they end up with a lot less saved at the end of their sort of career life when they're looking to, you know, to be able to stop working or working less.
And not to, I know you have to go in a minute, not to end on a more somber note, but I do think it's interesting to think that, and maybe that I'm ignorant on this, but I would imagine that people's savings, their overall savings might be in greater disarray over the last year and a half than they would have been. I mean, certainly, obviously, there was, you know, recovery money that went to people, but I just think, is this, what is the state of people's savings right now? You know, like have people really been set back in some ways with respect to their retirement dreams? Or, you know, from your analysis, where do things sit?
You know, I think, honestly, I think, you know, if you look at the data that's been coming out from the 401k industry, and then you look at just sort of larger workforce data, a picture really emerges, which is people who had access to a 401k plan didn't really tap into it too much during the pandemic. But for everybody else, so they sort of allowed people to do that during the pandemic, sort of remove some of the rules and regulations if you needed money. And no one really did it from their 401k plan. But everybody else that didn't have a retirement plan didn't have that opportunity. And now that has become a bigger focal point of, sure, people with a 401k plan were okay, and not a lot of people took money out of it, but we still have 81 million people, or over half the workforce, that doesn't have any kind of safety net. It really brought into stark contrast the people that have a financial safety net and the people that do not. And so sort of my sort of mission and focus is to make sure that every working American has access to a work-based retirement plan.
And then last thought, and this is a tough thing. I know that ideas often, you know, they start from one or two people, and for them to really succeed and permeate in society, they have to go to other people, and other people have to steal their idea and build on their idea. So
yes.
would you be happy if essentially you wound up having more competition and other people started, you know, coming out with competitive savings plans, if it meant that it would save, you know, not necessarily save, but if it meant that the state of retirement and the future of savings would be, you know, brighter on the whole?
Absolutely. I mean, everything that I've done in my career has really been around building financial security for, you know, working Americans. And if someone has a better way, excuse me, to do that, I'm all for it. You know, I'll pack it up and go home. If someone, you know, there's no one doing that though. So that is one of the reasons why I sort of jumped ship and was like, okay, we can dive in here using, you know, advances in digital financial technology. We can create a plan of the future that will support this growing group of people who've sort of been left out.
Well, I know I definitely learned quite a bit here. It's admittedly not a strong suit for me, and I suspect for a lot of listeners. So I'm really glad we had this conversation. Lori, thank you so much for making the time.
Thank you. It's been great. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks again to Lori for making the time. I really thought this was a fascinating discussion about something that, frankly, not enough of us do pay enough attention to. If you'd like what you just heard, and this is your first time here, be sure to subscribe. Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Stitcher, the choice is yours. And if you're a longtime listener, please remember to rate and review Future Proof, as that's the number one way we get the show in front of people just like you. Special thanks this week to our producers, Jason Stack and V. Cortuccio. Once again, I'm Jeremy Goldman, and you've been listening to Future Proof.